Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 12. We're going to continue today in the series that we've started about loving God. And this is the fourth part of that series. In verse 30, the Word of God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." With all thy heart. So love the Word of God with all thy heart. Now remember that the heart refers to the frame of reference. Pastor Stevens gave a very elaborate definition of the heart. And we had reiterated this in the past. We're not going to do that again now. But it really is this essential concept. The heart is the frame of reference. So we love the Lord our God in our full frame of reference. Now keep in mind, in John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. So that means that the love of God must be imparted to me from God into my frame of reference. And in that frame of reference, the full frame of reference is encompassed and occupied with the love of God. The love of God becomes my frame of reference. As the love of God is my frame of reference, it quickens me to operate in faith. Because the love of God is everything to me. Nothing has the luster that the love of God has. Nothing has the attractive force that the love of God has. And so in all things I operate in faith because the love of God is my full frame of reference. Now, this is not something that was said to be a good idea. This was a commandment. Jesus came to give one commandment and a great commission. So half of what Jesus intended to communicate on earth is summarized as one thing. Love the Lord your God. Love Him with your full heart. In Proverbs, the Word of God says, "My son, give me your heart." What does that mean? Give God the fullness of the love of God. As it has been established in your frame of reference, reflecting it back to Him. Give that to Him. If the love of God is in your frame of reference, it will not be difficult to love God with all your heart. Why? Because it's your frame of reference. Because this is the foundation of all your thinking. It's not difficult to love God and it's not difficult to love people. Actually, it's much more difficult to operate outside of love toward God or people. That's where you get all your problems. But that's also because the love of God is not the full frame of reference in that case. If the love of God is the full frame of reference, loving God and loving people is simply the way that I think. It's not a difficult thing at all. There's no striving in it at all. Merciful and gracious is simply the MO. This is how we operate. This is the norm. Like, you know, people operate in the way they think. We think with the love of God is our full frame of reference. We operate in the love of God with no effort whatsoever. And so the love of God becomes our full frame of reference. Now in John chapter 15 and verse 9, turn there please. The Word of God says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in Him." So this is what God is telling us. Continue in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Notice that Christ, and He is talking about in His humanity now, that Christ is not the source of His love toward us. It was not the humanity of Christ that was the source of love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Why? Because we love, because He first loved us. As the Father loved Christ, so Christ loved us. As the Father loves us, so we love one another. It's the love of God that is being passed through the channels, if you will. That we become vessels of the love of God. As the Father has loved us, so we love. We love God and we love other people. Why? Because this is what is in the vessel. This is why it's so important that we love God with all our hearts. Because we don't want anything else in the vessel corrupting the love. We want, if you will, uncontaminated love of God. We don't want love of self and the love of God. We don't want the love of things and the love of God. We don't want our lust patterns and the love of God. We want entirely just the love of God in that vessel. He says, continue in my love. Now that word continue is mentene. And it's the aorist active imperative of meno. So the aorist tense tells me this is a reality that has no beginning and no end. This is an eternal reality. We are continuing in that which is eternal. In other words, what he's saying is receive the eternal quality of the love of God. Human love is purely temporal. Human love will love you on a good day, and it will not love you on a bad day. It will hate you on a bad day. Remember, there's five expressions of hate. We should talk about that sometime, but not today. There's five expressions of hate. But one of those expressions is failure to apply agape love, patience and kindness. So we either love or we hate. We either are patient in wrong suffering and we are gracious in our kindness, or we hate. And so these are the two options. He says, live in the eternal quality of the love of God. Don't mix with it anything else. Live in the eternal quality of the character of God. Why? Because you have received it from the Father. You draw near to the love of God in order to receive the love of God. In order to draw near to the love of God, I have to draw near to the Word of God, which tells me about the love of God. Then I meditate on the love of God as it's described in the Word of God. I meditate on the fact that it's for me personally. I don't meditate on the fact first and foremost that it's for somebody else. I meditate on it that it's for me. That God loves me where I am. That God doesn't require of anything of me. He simply accepts me just as I am. He doesn't ask me to change. He transforms me as I draw near to who He is. This is maintaining the love of God. Continue in the love of God. Live in that eternal quality that the love of God possesses. That unconditional quality is that aorist tense. See, if there is a conditionality to the love of God, it's no longer aorist tense. There is an end. Or maybe there is a beginning. But in the aorist tense, there is no end and no beginning. And so it is a continuous action without a beginning, and that never stops. It's always been, it is now, and it will always continue to be. So, in order to have an aorist love, it has to be purely unconditional. So that means that what the Father is giving me is a purely unconditional form of love. Now, we hear this theologically, and sometimes we get familiar with it in the negative sense. Do you get what it means that the love toward you is without any conditions? The love toward you is without any merit whatsoever. The love toward you is without any production whatsoever. It meets you where you are. It searches you out. It finds you and it envelops you. It doesn't ask if you're doing better today. It doesn't ask, get your act together. It doesn't ask, hey, I'll love you if. It just finds you where you are and it loves you right where you are. Now, sometimes the expression of love can be hindered by my responsiveness. Maybe I won't respond to love. It still loves me, it just won't have the ability to express itself as fully if I don't respond. But it doesn't change the fact that it is there and it is pursuing me. The love of God will always pursue us. That's why He left the 99 sheep and went for the one. Why? They were sheep. They were believers. He went after the believer who had the need because that believer lost his way. Love does that. Loves the other 99, but he's going after that one. Why? To bring them back into the fold where the love of God is continuously being poured out. It draws that believer in Jeremiah 31:3. The love of God poured out with no contaminant, no conditionality. It's the aorist active imperative. Now, this is a really curious grammatical structure for the love of God and us continuing in it. Because the active voice means that we are producing this action. The subject produces the action of the active voice. So we have an eternal quality and we produce it. Well, how in the world can I produce it? I cannot. But I can receive it. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You continue in the way that I loved you as the Father has loved me. So you continue to live in that eternal quality of love. You continually receive that eternal quality of love. You guard that love in your heart. You don't let that love of God slip out of your heart. You don't let Satan through situations or difficulties or trials. You don't let Satan remove it from your heart. You guard the purity of a wholehearted love toward God. It's the imperative mood. And so we know that He is commanding us to do this. It's a dogmatic command. Absolutely, with no exceptions, He is saying, maintain in your life, in your full heart, this quality of eternal love. You are commanded to do so. Now, the word continue means stay in a given place or a state or a relation or in an expectancy. It also means to abide or dwell or continue or to remain or tarry in. Have you ever considered that as you continue in the love of God, there is an expectancy regarding the love of God? How many people have lost their expectancy regarding the love of God? How many people fail and they don't expect to be loved? How many people encounter a difficulty and they don't expect to be loved? It's also a two-way thing. How many people don't expect to love people today? How many people don't purpose with expectancy that they will be vessels of love? That they will be vessels of mercy and graciousness, of long-suffering patience and of kindness. That they will seek out opportunities to be vessels of love. That is also an expectancy. And so I have an expectancy and I am commanded to do so, to receive love today and also to love today. And that is my expectancy for the day. That is my expectancy for every encounter. That is my expectancy for every situation. That is my expectancy for every moment. To receive love and then to love. To be filled as a vessel with the love of God and then to allow that love to overflow from me onto whoever or whatever I happen to encounter. It's not in striving and it's not in trying. It's in the wholeness of the heart. Loving God with my full heart. And I become this vessel overflowing with no striving involved. Not even purposing to love. I don't purpose to love per se. I purpose to receive the love of God. And then as I purpose to receive the love of God, I end up loving people just by accident. Just because they're there. Just because the cup's filled and it's spilling over. They get wet. This is the expectancy of our day. That we receive love and that we love. Do you have this expectancy? That you're going to receive love and that you will love? If not, why not? If not, develop this expectancy. Have this expectancy. It only takes a nanosecond as you make a decision. Then it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep, tereo, aorist active, third class subjunctive. Now, here we go again. The commandments of God are eternal. Now, commandments there is entole, and it's talking about the precepts and the teachings. If you keep the precepts or teachings, in other words, if you keep the Word of God, and remember in Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word, and not by bread, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How does that work? I receive the spoken word. The word there is rhema, but how do I get the rhema? Rhema is illumination from God's word. It's not logos, but it's referring to logos. It's alluding to logos as it says every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I hear the spoken word, the proclaimed word, and the Holy Spirit takes that proclaimed word and starts illuminating with that word areas of my life, both for edification and for correction and for instruction. And so the Logos turns into the Rhema as the ministry of the John 16:13 ministry of the Holy Spirit takes place in my life as He guides me in all truth. This is what I live in. That means that I don't get subjective and I don't say to myself, well, I don't need preaching, I don't need the Bible, I don't need the pulpit, I don't need the body, I don't need the Word of God proclaimed, I just need the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. Well, if you don't speak the language, there's not going to be much communication going on. The Word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. And so if I want to hear the precise illuminations, the rhemas for my life, I receive the proclaimed word and the Holy Spirit turns that proclaimed word into divine illumination for me. This is what he's talking about, keeping his commandments. Now, if you keep, there is third class subjunctive. And it's talking about keep something as a warden, keeps a prisoner, or to keep an eye on, or to watch, and hence to guard. If you maintain, keep the Word of God as it's brought in the Holy Spirit into your heart, you keep this, you maintain it, you focus on it, you observe it. Part of the guarding is to watch it. You keep an eye on it. Your focus is on those words from the Spirit. Not on your situation, not on your problem, not on your mood, not on your emotions, not on how you feel, not on what's going on, not on what your wife said to you, not on what your husband said to you, not on what your kids are doing, not on what your workplace is doing, none of those things, not on what your friends are doing. You keep your eyes on the Word. You focus on the Word. As you do this, you are maintaining it in your heart. Now, if you keep this, and the third class subjunctive means you may or you may not. But if you do, you may or may not, but if you do, then you will abide in His love. Aorist tense. Again, it's talking about the eternal precepts of God's Word. It's not talking about laws. It's not talking about production. It's not talking about being good enough. It's talking about the eternal precepts of God's Word. The finished work foundation in the Word of God, and that Word of God being seen in the light of its foundation. If you keep that, if you maintain that, and it is an active voice, that means you produce the action. So if you produce the action regarding the eternal quality of the Word, which leads to that eternal quality of life, then you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept it. Now, that there is, I have kept, is tetrarixa. It's the perfect active indicative of tereo. So, the same word, but the grammar has changed a little. And what it's talking about in the perfect voice, it's an action completed at a specific point in the past, but its results continue. So, what happened here? The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. There was a point in eternity past when the Lamb was slain in Revelation 13:8. At that point, the love of God was made manifest. At that point, Jesus said, I have kept it. And now the results continue. This is what we are supposed to do, even as I have kept My Father's commandments. It's very simple. The Father's commandments were love one another. The Father's commandments were love God. That's the commandment. If you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law. The fullness of the law. All of the law is contained in that one commandment that we love. The eternal expression of that love was the cross. Because greater love has no man that he lay down his life for his friend. This is the love that we are to keep toward God. That we lay down our life toward God. That He becomes our life. That we lose our life in Him. Now, for some reason, some Christians see this as being a difficult or an undesirable or unpleasant thing. And they still look at it in a worldly way. You mean I'm to lose my life? What makes me want to lose my life? I'll tell you what. The life that you have in the Adamic nature is your death. But one believer after another, in some cases, holds on to death, trying to preserve their life, and they're preserving their death. That's why they abide alone. Isn't that what the Savior said? Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And so, it is possible for that believer to abide alone. Why? They've preserved death. We don't preserve death. We lay down our lives. In other words, we lay down our death. And the other side of the cross is where life is found. So when He is saying that we have died. He's not saying that we have died and have no life. He's saying that we have died and have no death. And through that, we find His life. Through that, we find that abundant life. Through that, we find that joyful life. Through that, we find our peace and our contentment. Through that, we find that satisfaction in the soul that people look for in so many different ways, in so many different places, but apart from God and looking toward God to receive it, they can't ever find it. The cross is my deliverance from the misery of my flesh, because all of my misery is in my flesh. There is no misery at all on the other side of the cross. All of my misery is in my flesh. If I am miserable, it's because I'm living in my Adamic nature. We go to the cross and we find deliverance from that misery. For the believer, the cross is always deliverance. For the believer, the cross is always life. For the believer, the cross is always the source of their joy. For the believer, the cross is always the source of their contentment. Not that we say, oh, I've got a cross, I'm content to do without. No, you're already doing without. You have a cross, now you have a provision. See, without Him, I have nothing at all anyway. So the cross becomes my provision for an abundant life. Let me ask you, and don't answer this, but answer it in your own heart. Do you have an abundant life? Would you say that you are living in the abundance and the fullness of God's life? If not, there's a reason. And there's a solution. Remember, where there's a reason, there's a solution. The reason is because there are areas of my life where I'm living in my Adamic nature. The solution is to put down the Adamic nature and pick up God's nature through the cross. And I no longer have to live in the misery and the despair and the destitute nature of Adam. I can live in the fullness of joy and in the abundance of life. I can have that peace that passes understanding. It's not difficult, it just requires a cross. It's not a cross where I die in my life. It's a cross where I gain my life by dying to my death. Remember, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead in the old sin nature. So a believer who chooses to live in their old sin nature is choosing to live in the death and the curse of that death. The believer who chooses to pick up a cross, deny themselves, follow God, they're choosing to live in the fullness of life. It is that simple. But the Adamic nature won't put up with that. Because the Adamic nature doesn't want to go away. The Adamic nature doesn't want to be ignored. The Adamic nature doesn't want to be put off. The Adamic nature wants to be the center of things. And when the Adamic nature is the center of things in my life, I live in the death of that Adamic nature. I don't live in the love of God. I live in the curse of the flesh. And what I manifest in my practical expressions is the curse of the flesh. Whether it's on the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil or on the evil side, it doesn't much make a difference. It's still the curse of the flesh. So I put down the curse of the flesh and I picked up the abundant life of God. And now I'm delivered from that curse. I don't have to live in its effects. I don't have to live in the emotions of it. I don't have to live in its rule in my life. I don't have to live with it at all. The cross is that provision for fully receiving the love of God. There is no one who can fully receive the love of God apart from the cross in their life. And there's no one who can live in the benefits and the manifestation of that love, having it pour out of them, without the cross either. The cross is my provision for that love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your full frame of reference, with the cross taking everything over, and the Word defining everything for you, and the love of God giving you the right orientation toward that Word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you abide in me, in John 15:7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Have you ever considered that if you abide in the love of God, you will ask what you will? How do I abide in the love of God? By abiding in His words. You see, I continue in the Word of God. I continue in the Word of God. I continue in the Word of God. And again, I continue in the Word of God. All day long, I'm continuing in the Word of God. And as I continue in the Word of God, I draw near to the source of the love of God. And as I'm drawing near to the source of God, the love of God, I get to receive God's expression of His love, and it comes as one expression, as answer to my prayers. So what we see here is there's a conditionality to the answer to prayers. Yes, on the one hand, I ask and I receive. But maybe I receive today and tomorrow it's a little, and then I'm wondering, am I going to receive again? Well, yes, continue in my words. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, then you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. That means if you abide in my love and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. If you're building yourself in the love of God by looking for mercy, and that is the one way we do it, if you look for the love of God by looking for mercy, and you continue living in the love of God, and you continue living in mercy, and you continue living in God's grace, then you will ask what you will if you have the Word resident in you, and you will receive whatever you ask. It's really that simple. Well, I could ask for anything. Yeah, you probably could. But with the Word of God residing in you, what will you ask for? And so we have a way to make prayer a sure thing by continuing in the love of God and God's words abiding in me. And then God gets to manifest to you one of the beautiful expressions of the love that He has in answered prayer. When I continue in the love of God, then Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the love of God is produced in me. And all of a sudden I have that love, but I also have joy. And I also have peace. And I also have that long-suffering patience. And I also have gentleness. And I also have divine goodness. And I also have faith. And I also have meekness. And I have self-control. And these are the things that are the result of the love of God in a practical manifestation in the believer's life. This is why in 1 John 4:20 the Word of God says, if any man hates his brother and says he loves God, he is a liar. Why? Because he doesn't possess the love of God. The only way to hate my brother is to not have love overflow on them. If I don't have love overflow on them, then I don't have love. Now again, just like we said earlier, this is not something to be condemned by if I don't have it. It's something to be instructed by if I don't have it. If I operate in pride toward the message, then I will be condemned. If I operate toward humility toward the message, then I will be instructed if this is something that's lacking in my life. And if I am instructed, then I will know how to go about correcting the situation in my life. I draw near to the heart of God by drawing near to the Word of God, meditating on what the Word has to say about His love, about His character, about who I am in Him, about the fact that I'm accepted in the Beloved. By the way, you are accepted in the Beloved just as you are, train wreck and all. You are accepted in the Beloved. So keep yourself in that love. And keep yourself there with your whole heart. Remember, in Galatians 5:6, it's not your efforts that mean anything. It's not your external production. It's not anything. It's a faith that works by love. That's it right there. It's a faith that works by love. And in Galatians 6:15, that faith that works by love, which excludes any sort of an effort, also leads you into the practical experience of being the new creature. Love God with your full heart. Don't mix anything in it. Don't mix self in it. Don't mix mood in it. Don't mix situation in it. Don't mix negativity in it. Drop all those things. And keep yourself wholeheartedly in the love of God. Because that's the great commandment. Amen.